From
Recording.
Hello, Becca, grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just want to say thank you to Greg for inviting me out here to speak. I have a sobriety date of December 6, 2024, and I have a home group, Monks, at the Canyon Club. Where do I start? So my alcoholism started for my first drink. When I was 14, I mean, the first time I drank, I never stopped. I had alcohol poisoning by the time I was 14 and a half. I was smoking weed and doing meth by the time I was 16. And it just went on from there. By the time I was 27, I was a full-blown meth addict. I drank every weekend and I didn't give a shit like who I affected with my actions. I had my first daughter at 15, my second one at 27, and at the end of my run, I was just broken, right? I was just broken. I was shooting meth all through my pregnancy with my third daughter. I couldn't stop. I didn't see my second daughter except for every 2 weekends. And I had no life. I had no job. I did illegal shit to pay my rent. And I had no real friends. I didn't leave my house because when I'm high, I know that the whole world knows I'm high, right? I'm like super high strung as it is sober. So when I'm high, there's no hiding from myself, you know? So I would just stay at home and just isolate. And that's how I liked it. Because I don't like to share anyways, you know? I do whatever I got all to myself, you know? So at the end of my run, like I was just so sick of looking at myself in the mirror. I weighed like 107 pounds. I would like break out like crazy. And I just couldn't pray. You know, before I came to this program, I had a higher power. Like my higher power came into my life when I was 10 years old. You know, I went to church and I knew God and I knew Jesus Christ. And like, it was a struggle for me because I spent my days praying, you know, until I like became so heavy in my addiction that I couldn't do that. I couldn't pray to God when I was high. I just felt like I was just such a piece of shit. And like, he doesn't, you know, he didn't like need to have that from me. So, last week of my addiction, I found out that my daughter's dad was blacking out drunk so bad that he was like choking out his 17-year-old niece, and my 11-year-old daughter was there hitting him, trying to get him to stop, you know. And where was I? I was up in Pinyon Hills slamming meth and not there for her, you know. And like it was just too much for me, and so I just broke down and I just prayed and I just said, God, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail, and I don't want to have to go to treatment, and I don't want to die. So whatever I need to do to stop, just help me do that. And 2 days later, I got a CPS call, right? My children are taken care of, like my, you know, my, but you know, God's funny, right? And so I asked for, you know, that sign. That's what I got. I got a CPS call that said my children were not being fed, not having anything to drink when they were witnessed, that I was leaving them home alone, and that I was leaving them a car so I could have sexual altercations with them. None of this was true, right? But that's what I needed. That, you know, like everyone's low is different, you know, but my low was that. Like, I wasn't gonna have my children taken. Just the thought of having my children taken was enough that I got high for 2 more days. Okay, I'm not gonna fucking bullshit. Okay, I got high for 2 more days, but then I was done, you know. Like, then I was done, and it was like, okay, this is what I need, right? And I didn't have to go back to treatment, you know. I didn't have to do any of that. Like, losing my children was enough for me, and so I quit. And I have a really good friend, my best friend, is in the program, you know, and she introduced me to the program a year before that. And I came here enough just to get like the seed planted, right? Like I didn't do the steps, so I didn't stay sober, but I knew the basis of the steps, and just knowing that, I started implanting into my life. As soon as I decided I was done, I started contacting every single person who I had ever fucked over, who had ever fucked me over, and I just literally said, "I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry, whether you know you accept my apology or not, and if you're not sorry for what you've done to me, I don't care because I forgive you and I'm free from it." And I just started doing that. And it's amazing how quick you get results. You know what I mean? The problem for me is that even when I would have my stints of being sober, I always wanted to get high still. Like I would be sober and it was like, I'm sober today and it's just for the day, but like I still want to get high. So I really fear that that's how I would live my life, is every day like fighting it. Like I fought it out one more day, you know, like I'm sober one more day. And it sucked. Like that's what I thought life was going to be like, you know? And so when I really started applying these steps, you know, even without completing my, but as soon as I started, that craving just started leaving me, and it was amazing, you know. And so I came back into the rooms with my best friend Dana, and I just started hitting meetings, you know, and I hit meetings and I hit meetings, and I started doing these steps, and the transformation was immediate. I mean, within 2 months of being sober, I got a new place. I moved up here to Lisa Viejo. I got a car. I got a job. I got a life. I got friends, because I didn't have friends and I didn't want friends, But that's like what this program has given me. It's given me the opportunity to have a real life, When I'm helping others, I'm not worried about myself because I'm someone that's full of ego and full of self. And like anything that I ever did for people in my life was like a manipulation to get something out of it, right? Like I'm gonna be nice to you, but I know in the back of my mind, like this will come back around full circle somehow and I will get something from it. And coming to this forum, I realized like I don't need to do that. I don't wanna do that because I feel my best when I'm helping other people. Now I get to show up for my kids. Now I have a grandson who has a sober grandmother who he's never gonna see loaded, And that's because I know I can say never because I work this program every damn day and I stay connected to God every day. So like I know every night when I lay my head down, I don't ever think about it. When I went to help my first sponsee, my 8 month pregnant sponsee getting on a flight where I'm like wrapping up her rigs for her and helping her dispose of her stuff. Not one second did I have that brand new rig and that meth in my hand and think like I just could shoot. It was like the scariest, disgusting feeling. I would like look to her and I thought, thank you. Like, thank you that that's not me today. Thank you that I don't have to ever worry about not having my children and not ever be showing up for myself and for everyone that I love. And right now, my best friend's in Jersey and her dad's getting ready to die. And, her 11-year-old was out there with him, and you know what? And like he, it was too hard for him. And you know what? He flew home. He got home. That's why I was like almost late. Is he flew home? She flew her 11-year back so I could take care of him. So now I'm sitting at my best friend's house, taking care of her kids, taking care of all of our kids. Halfway losing my mind, but you know what? I have no desire to use. And I know that like it's this program, working these steps, helping other people. Every single night when I lay my head down, I think like, where was I a bitch today to someone for no reason? You know what I mean? Like, and I take that in and I internalize that. I do my inventory and I make sure that I'm good with everybody in my life every single day. Because if I'm not, then I know that there's a risk. You know what I mean? So as long as I stay connected to God and I do these damn steps, I know that I have nothing to worry about. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Damn. Right.